Greetings, listeners. Welcome to the Web 12 podcast. I'm Raymond, and we're here with the full gang. So Christian, Jordan, hello. Oliver, and Kyle.
Hello.
Hello.
Everyone shout their hellos.
Hello, yeah. Hello again.
All right, yeah. Well, that can only mean one thing, because it's the end of the year, and we all get together to celebrate Father Corvus for a third time in a row.
We are about 3 weeks early, though, because it's the 10th of December.
Well,
today.
we can timey-wimey, wobbly-bobbly it and do it.
And so, our wish list still needs to get sent to the North Pole.
Yeah, yes, that's true.
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, for the listeners that don't know what Father Corvus is, we ask Corvus Belly for nice things for next year. And we go over a little good, bad, and ugly of what we thought of last year and what we are looking forward to. So that's the easy thing around. And we all made the list. Let's start off with the good, bad, and ugly. I can kick off what I found good this year. And I know this one is, I saw the other list. So people also put this on the bad and some on their ugly. So what I thought was good this year were the ITS, the new reinforcement rules, and the operations deck, that we have a nice change of pace in the game, that Corvus Belly really tries to change the format around. If you listen to our reinforcements and our resilience operations episode, I'm pretty stoked about it. What are your thoughts? Because who had it on their good list, or who had it on their bad or ugly?
Well, I think a few of us had things like reinforcements and operations and stuff on both our good lists and our ugly lists at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I agree that I really like CB experimenting with other game modes. I'm not a massive fan of operations, but you know, reinforcements I think is good. Or at least I think it's a very good idea. I think adding some freshness to the game is really cool. People have been asking for that for a while. And just adding little interesting new ways to play, I think is really valuable. So it's on my good list. I don't really want to go into the bad and the ugly yet, but we can sort of talk about that later.
Yeah.
I have a good, which is it's nice to see novels, more graphic novels coming out. I always enjoy that. You know, the extra world building stories and content is always nice. I haven't read the new graphic novel yet, but I'm very excited to pick it up.
Yeah.
You can keep doing that stuff.
So I think for my good list, I have reinforcements and the operation deck as well. Just throwing a little bit of gear in the way that things work. I like that.
Yeah.
Another thing on my good list is that the new models are always on point. So I really love all the new models that are coming out. It's just a joy to paint them. It's a joy to buy them and to hoard them and to have a big pile of shame and to slowly work through it. And I just love the models. I also think the books and the graphic novels have been very nice. I have gotten the graphic novel. That was really good. And I also threw myself into the new book, which was also pretty good. So I like that the story is progressing. And I think that another good thing is that as a new player, so I started playing January in 23, that this game is very interesting. It has a lot to it, a lot of some very stable legs to stand on. And I'm still trying to digest all of this, so I've served a really big meal, and it's nice. It's nice going into this complex game and just trying to learn it.
Yeah, for sure. I was a bit scared that the reinforcements would be, because I have a few newer players that are just coming around at my local tournaments. And I was afraid that they would not jive well with reinforcements, because it's another rule on top of the already pretty hefty rule set. But yeah, so I went democratically and put out a vote, but everyone wanted it. So it's only, I've now had two reinforcement tournaments, and it's now that the next that's coming up that they voted for, well, we want a normal one now. But that's cool that everyone is joining up. But beginner in the Netherlands, everyone wants to have a taste of it, and yeah. Corvus Belli really goes all in with these new reinforcement packs, so and they look cool as well. Especially the Jing one, man. I like the Koreans.
What do you think is the best reinforcement pack so far?
The one that they still need to make, and that's Merovingia, of course.
That they've shown, I think, the Nomads are, in my opinion, just purely from a model basis. They all look great, and those Mars spiders look sweet.
Yeah, they actually have spider legs. That I didn't expect.
Yeah, they're cool. I really like them.
They look like Iron Spider, and I've started dabbling. I've been painting a lot of spider people for Marvel, and they look fantastic. Also, the casino security, but the rounders, they also look pretty. She looks pretty cool as well. So they're definitely good. One thing I didn't have on my good list that I thought of that I want to add would add to it is I was very happy that they did their print for order of old limited edition models that they just did, where people can get their Tony and their other things.
Yeah.
It was nice. Some of those models popping up and letting people that haven't been in the game since they were out or didn't or missed them when they were out, things like that. It was nice to see some of those classics be able to be purchased, especially Tony, because at least then there's a deep belong model for all the military orders players out there. I would say Shock Army players, but both Shock Army players, I think, got a peek back when Shock Army was in production.
Yeah, the only bad thing is that I show my gaming age when I put my Go-Go Marlene on the table as my HVT, and people are like, "Whoa, that's a Go-Go Marlene! That's like the first limited edition model." But now anyone can get it, so I'm not special anymore. That's a shame. Plus, it was an investment. I hope that after a few years, I could buy a house with selling my Go-Go Marlene.
Yeah, unfortunately, they dashed those hopes. But now you can pretend like you're way younger and just ordered it this month.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I'm 26, for sure.
I mean, I think they'll still go up in price again eventually. So it's not like, this is a sort of permanent solution. I don't know.
Hey. I hear it's a good time to start investing in the old Merovingian sculpts, right?
Oh, I have them too. Ah, that's my backup plan. So, Kyle, what's on your good list?
I want to echo what you brought up with the operations deck. I really like adding different game modes and changing things up a little bit to shift metas and shift paradigms and shift the way we think about things. I'd like to see that a little more, at all in the ITS document, really. And I think it's a cool way to add some of the variations that they've been putting in each season, but actually mix them up so it's not in the same mission every time you play it, where you might have those environmental effects or the difficult terrain zones, but they might show up in different missions where they aren't in the same place every time you play that mission.
Yeah,
that's my big one.
Yeah. I'm very curious what it does with how people make lists, how people engage with it, because pretty fresh, pretty new.
I like that. Unlike ITS or especially in some of the more recent missions, seems to be leaning more and more into you better bring a lot of specialists, which is good, and I don't dislike that, but it's nice that operation seems to lean the other way, where having a ton of specialists isn't as necessary. It's kind of nice that there's two different game modes that lean into two different types of list building. It really feels like the types of lists you're going to build for an operations, you know, if you do an operations deck event, are going to be very different, especially because, you know, it's less building your list for the mission. And it, you know, leads into allowing people to build more, you know, an all-comer a list, and then a list for dealing with certain opponents that they have a hard time dealing with. You know, you match up against Steel Phalanx. Well, my secondary list has a lot more MSV just in case I, you know, match up against Steel Phalanx or Vacuum or something like that. So it's interesting, I think, that deck build, that list building perspective.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So, Ollie, did you do your good already?
Sorry, I decided to eat more pasta, which is great for me. No, I mean, I was just saying that my good really for this year is CB showing a willingness to mess around a bit with different formats, and to, I don't know, just new ways to play and things like that. When we get on to the other part, so we'll, you know, say I'm not entirely satisfied with how these things have been executed, but in terms of showing the ability to mess around with the game, I'm a fan of that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's go into the bad then, because we all gave her good.
So, do I have to start?
Yes. Yes, because you finally finished your pasta, so that's...
okay, hang on. I've lost... So... I don't think CB have really supported the new game modes enough, particularly reinforcements. They started that forum thread of feedback a couple of months ago. It was pretty astonishing to me how much consensus there was for the idea that reinforcements is an interesting idea, but not executed particularly well. We heard a lot of problems about sort of second turn bias and how it makes some missions just quite miserable to play, things like that. And since that point, we haven't actually heard about any kind of action plan or steps moving forwards or anything like that. And I think that's a really sort of big risk for CB, right? Because their release schedule at the moment is revolving around reinforcements, but at least where I am, people don't want to play reinforcements. And I know that's not the case everywhere. You know, some people still do, and that's okay. But to dedicate a significant portion of releases to a new game mode that has sort of struggled a little bit and needs some looking at, but hasn't been looked at yet, just feels like it's certainly a bold move. I'm not sure if it's a wise move, but we'll see. The last thing I just wanted to say is that, like, I think a lot of these formats just need more support at the moment. I haven't played as much Infinity this year as I did last year.
Mm-hmm.
I am a little bit tired of ITS. I'm a little bit tired of playing against, you know, similar Cosmo lists, similar Starmada lists, similar Combined Army lists. You know, I'm not necessarily saying that, like, it's a terrible game or anything like that, but I'm just saying, you know, I would have liked CB to have a look at some things. But, you know, it's worth referring back to my good section. They are obviously doing something.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, it's just maybe not. What's the best way of putting this? Maybe it's on a macro level, you know, big new game modes, but it's not on a micro level, as in, you know, having a good look at some profiles and things like that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, because
that's
what an issue that I have is that I have painted now mostly what the dudes that I will probably use in every list all the time. So there's a lot of models, there's a lot of new models on my painting table. And I'm like, yeah, I want to paint them, but I don't see where they would fit in because we currently know what is strong and what's not. I'm now buying models that are not making it into my list, and there are a few of the newer models that look very cool, but they struggle to fit in.
That's exactly my point. Like, we've had N4 for a couple of years now. Things have not completely settled. It's really unfair to say that Infinity's solved. I don't think it is, but there are certainly some things that keep cropping up. It would be nice for them to be looked at.
I think to echo you a little bit, Ollie, and to bring in my thoughts on the bad for CB this year, reinforcements feels like it was rolled out where there were two or three different departments working on different aspects of it, and they're all kind of coming out, but the release of it was not, it never coalesced into one thing. So there's the ITS side of it, where it's an extra in ITS in the gameplay, and then there's the unit profile side of it, and then there's the model side of it, and all of those things are landing at different times. And so right now we're in this sort of odd space where some armies have their reinforcements, but not everybody does yet. And then even if you get the reinforcements, if you're not playing the reinforcement game mode, those models don't make an appearance in your general army list. And so you don't have access to them outside of the game mode that maybe not everyone has models for yet. And I wish there was a little bit more of a middle ground where maybe a reduced set of profiles, or maybe some of the profiles and reinforcements do need to be tweaked a little bit because they really push some sectorials way outside of their box, and then bring some of those profiles into the vanilla army and a couple of sectorials. And I think that would create a little bit of a smoother transition into everybody having access to reinforcements and everybody being able to field that game mode in a way that, you know, they want a WYSIWYG if they can.
Yeah. Like to anecdote a bit, I've got the friend of mine who comes to the tournaments, and we're like, well, the next reinforcements, the next tournament will be without reinforcements. He was like, oh man, I just painted those those models.
Yeah,
what am I gonna do with them now? Right. Not gonna practice with them because I need to practice for this tournament.
I had reinforcements that are ugly. My general ugly is, you know, I like it, but there's something not quite there about it. I agree. It feels like, I hope they keep building on it. I hope they take, you know, what's been said in that forum and are working on, you know, adding to it, building on it. You know, there's plenty of comments about how not liking how conlinks work, or, you know, in terms of how restrictive they are to the list building, or how limited they are. I one big thing for me is I really don't like how, you know, NA2 and Toha kind of, you know, it's one thing with it's Toha because, you know, Toha is discontinued entire, you know, faction, but, you know, the NA2 feels kind of off to me. Personally, I would have much preferred it for NA2 instead of just saying, okay, all NA2 just get this generic NA2 reinforcements, you know, a bunch of the interesting things being, you know, characters that are already in a lot of those NA2 factions, so now you choose whether you're taking that or not in the main, like, you locked out of them. I would have much preferred if, you know, you have things like Starco, which is very much, it's in lore, and, you know, they like building these armor. No, Starco is very much a nomad mercenary company. It's, you know, funded by Corregidor, and, you know, the nomads. It has, you know, buy equipment from other places, but it's a nomad thing. I would like it if, you know, Starco, instead of having a generic NA2 mercenary, got nomad mercenaries. They got nomad reinforcements, right? Yeah. In many ways, it would make sense to me. Just similar thing for White Company. You know, either they get Pano or Yujin reinforcements. So I think that would make it a lot more interesting, and it also feel like it fits a lot more in terms of who would be reinforcing
these. There's a point I want to come in on here, actually, that I think is really important to me, that I didn't write down, but I've just started thinking about a lot, is that I think, specifically for the NA2 reinforcements, because I played a lot of Starco, it's that they're good, they're powerful. You know, you can't say that diggers in fire teams aren't great, but they're just quite, I don't, for want of a better word, dull. Is that fair? Like, they're just, it's just not, like, sometimes, you know, I use this silly word like zazzle. You know, it's kind of exciting. It does something new. It's a bit fresh. But the reinforcement rosters as a whole, so this goes for every faction, are for the most part just CC specialists or gunfighters. They're not camouflage. They're not smoke. They're not, you know, doing crazy tricks. They just fight. And so I think they feel a little bit bland, both from a thematic perspective, particularly for the NA2 reinforcements. But also to me, they just feel a little bit bland as well in gameplay. I know other people don't feel the same way as I do, but I personally think that moving a troop around and shooting an HMG and stuff is the least compelling part of the game. To me, the most compelling part of the game is doing interesting things with markers and smoke and moving around carefully. It's not just sort of applying a big gun to the situation.
I just hear the whole Pano crowd leave. I don't know why.
Everyone playing Pano is outraged at me. But like, personally, yeah. I just don't find that way of playing the game that fun. And I think reinforcements in the way it's structured is just that. That's what most of them do. It's about how to deliver template CC or shooting. And it kind of feels like I'm going to roll dice until one of us falls over. And that's, I don't know, that's not how I enjoy Infinity, personally.
Yeah, my other thing with DNA 2 is there's nothing really new or exciting, right? Like, all the main factions got some sort of new, interesting unit, right? Like, you get the Mars Spiders, you get the Round, like, you get these unique things. There might be slight profile changes, but otherwise the NA2 ones are just the same old things that you get in normal NA2 a lot of the time.
Yeah, I'm definitely convinced that the NA2 one is just placeholder. Because to do a unique reinforcements for every NA2 faction means that they did double up on effort. Because, yeah, you already have the all the regular factions, and then you have to do like 8 other NA2 specific. I think this will change up. I don't think they would, especially with JSA, that they would leave it with the current NA2 situation. It's just too high of a chance to make the Japanese very interesting with reinforcements.
Yeah, well, hopefully you're right. Hopefully Toha gets looked at. Yeah, right? Like, even Toha, right? Like, yeah. The draw. Like, I was first doing reinforcements looking at Toha. The Drawl, who's completely linkable in Viral and Toha, for some reason in reinforcements, one of the only interesting, you know, gunfighter maybe pieces in that their reinforcements, but for some reason it's not allowed. The Toha one was, in my view, worse than the NA2 even, where they just were, like, they just didn't, they're like, no, you don't want to play Toha at all. We don't want you to play Toha. And as someone that loves Toha, it's, you know, part of me is like, just get rid of Toha if you don't want people playing anything to do with Toha. Like, as much as I don't want to not be able to play my army, at the same time, kind of, it feels like you're just trying to make us want to not play them.
Yeah, but that's how you tease the out of print, I want to be special crowd. Like, no, we don't want you to play Toha, but we still let you play Toha. Hmm.
Yeah.
I almost chose Toha as my first army to play. But this was
You're
right.
A legend. They,
yeah, but they weren't in print. So it was, oh, do I want to really just bang my head against a wall trying to find out of print miniatures? Yeah, no thanks. I'd much rather take the easy way.
Yeah,
I will say, that's one good thing I didn't say. I forgot about it. I did like that they made that the choice to, you know, put out of prints or not, whatever the wording is, in army, for making it very clear to people which armies are in army.
Yeah. Because you always see somewhere on Facebook or on the forum that odd question of, I want to play Merovingians, but I cannot find the models. Where can I find the models? And then it's out of print, dude. And then, oh. Christine, what's on your bad list?
Yeah. So, on my bad list is, leading into this of all the out-of-print miniatures, is that there's so many different profiles and so many different models to try and wade through. So I definitely think they could cut it down a bit. And it would also be pretty nice if we could finally get some clarity on what the future is for. I guess we do have it now with Toha and Merovingians in Caledonia, but it would be kind of nice to know what their plans are with some of the other ones and how reinforcements will fit into it in the future, since they haven't mentioned anything there.
Yeah.
And I also do agree with the sentiment that you guys mentioned about reinforcements is what is CB going to do with this, right? Do we want to invest in this, or is it just going to continue being a side gig? And are these miniatures just being released for funsies, or is it going to be part of the core gameplay? I'd also like to see a little something about Code 1, because I think that would be a good way to get new players potentially into the game. I haven't heard anything about it. Nobody in my area plays Code 1. It seems like they've kind of dropped all mention of it for a long time. They haven't mentioned anything about Code 1.
Yes, they did all the starter boxes, and now it's done. Yeah,
So it does seem like it was just that the vendors knew what to house, right, or what to have in stock, and that makes sense from their perspective. So that was on my bad list.
So what's on your ugly?
Actually, I have one more thing on my bad list.
We're still
is the X-Ra reinforcement models. They are pretty cool, but they're still a little bit too humanoid for my liking. It would be nice to have something that wasn't just completely bipedal and doesn't look very humanish, with just little wings here and there or something like that, or a weird head. So I think they could have gone a little bit more wild with the sculpts than what they are currently.
Yeah, I have, every time I look at the models, the one time I look at them and like, yeah, they look alien enough. And then I look at them and they're human, too humanoid. Every time I just look and...
Clearly they're shape-shifting.
Yeah. Somehow.
Yeah. So did you want me to start with the ugly?
Yeah, do start with the ugly.
Yeah. So I mentioned the complexity of the game in the good. But as a new father... the complexity of the game is also double-edged sword, since at the moment I don't have enough mental capacity to really plan, set up, and play games. So you have to find someone you want to play with. You have to find the scenario. You have to find a time and a place, and then you have to go and set up the table. And then I'm still learning some of the rules, so of course I take a little bit longer than normal. And of course you have to go and, it's nice to take your time and not rush it. So it easily ends up taking quite a few hours to play a game. And I unfortunately don't have the time to play that many games at the moment. So I guess that goes into the complexity aspect of the game. And they can't do anything about that, but it's still an ugly side of this hobby in that it requires a lot of time.
They have to put on every box, you can't have kids.
Yeah. Well, I think sometimes the boxes kind of do prevent that in their own way. If you have a display case, then it's in your place. Well, I have one of those, and I got lucky, and I found a wife that likes a display case, but I don't think everyone finds it cool.
Oh man, I don't think I've ever told my display case story on the Whip 12, but. When I moved in with my now wife, she was like, "Well, all those hobbies, I don't know, just put them all on the second floor, just not seeing in the living room." But then my father-in-law gave me a display case because he knew, you're painting these models, they look cool, just display them in the house. So. At first, my wife was like, "Oh, should we do that? Because if my girlfriends come over, they will I will be embarrassed because they see that my husband plays with little Barbie men." So, but once I was like, "Yeah, let's try it out." So I put my best looking models in the display case, they came over and they were all very impressed by my skills. So from that point on, my wife was fine with it.
Oh, that's great.
So yeah, my ugly, the ITS, there were more changes this time, and I'm really, really happy with the reinforcements in the operations deck. But yeah, I was looking forward to more missions that that were tailor-made to work with reinforcements, instead of this one's good enough for it and this one you probably don't want to play with. It's been tagged on instead of fully fleshed with the rest.
That makes sense. That I feel like that ties in really well with Ollie's point already about the lack of support and having a new game mode and making sure there are missions that work really well with it, instead of reinforcements throwing missions out of whack and making it more, I don't know. Yeah, I think that's a really good.
Yeah, I still have to make apologies for the fact that I used Frostbite in a reinforcements tournament. So big mistake. Any other uglies?
What was my ugly? Oh, sorry. No, why don't you go ahead? Because I need to find mine again.
There you go. So the big one for me is, very unsurprising, I'm sure. But the state of Guided Missile Launcher and Bears right now, and the way that those two things shape the game, and it is what it is, right? One of my regular opponents plays Bears a lot, and we have great games, right? They're very fun, they're very engaging, and there are things that I just can't play when he brings Bears, because there are whole elements of the game that are just going to get devoured by them in a way that means I can't employ a lot of aspects of models, especially when playing Pano. Steel Phalanx is not so bad, but it means that I'm playing a lot more camouflage, which is fine. I like playing camo, but sometimes it's fun to do something different or try some Sphalerima or play some military orders, but they struggle real hard going into Bears and Guided Missiles. With that though, one thing that I would love to see CB do, if they really seem to not want to do anything about Bears or Guided Missiles outright, is bring back some of those camo lieutenants that they ditched at the beginning of N4. We used to have a whole bunch of skirmisher profiles where you could put a lieutenant under a camouflage marker. And I feel like that is an incredibly powerful tool if your opponent is bringing these really aggressive total immune climbing plus warbands or a huge repeater network and guided missiles. Because if you can deny your opponent the ability to engage with your lieutenant, effectively hide your lieutenant, it means that you've actually got enough of a shell game that them spending resources trying to figure out which one is your LT and digging it out actually becomes a balanced piece against those pieces across the table.
Yeah, anyway. I can feel that. Especially when I know that there's decapitation coming up, I'm always looking for the lists where the lieutenant is in the camouflage. Because then it takes a while to pick them up. Because if you don't, it's way too easy for these kind of alpha elements to just kill it outright.
Right. And that gets in a little bit into the wishes for the future. But it is sort of where I'm at the moment. And, I'm playing Vanilla Yuching right now, mostly because they have one of the best camo lieutenants in the game. And there are other things I like about the army too, but it is a really significant draw because I can't do that with most of Pano or any of Aelith anymore.
Yeah. I've had my feel bad moment with Wallace as my lieutenant, and just people just starting, I got first turn, whack. Guided missile launcher on it, or incoming bear, and just so you know what, then games become stale in that.
So I'm looking, literally as we speak, I am looking at a list of the top profiles taken in every faction for all of ITS 14 and all of ITS 15.
Oh, right.
Like literally right now. And guided missile launchers are among the most popular units in the entire game.
That makes sense. They're real effective right now.
Yeah.
It is just curious to me because I was wondering if this is a localized problem or a generalized problem, but it's very much not a localized problem. If I'm currently looking at all of the lists submitted for the last like 2 years, and it's a thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Profiles, they need a tweaking. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't even think the guided missile launcher needs a tweak itself. I think it just hacking needs a really minor update. Either, you know, bring, what was it, U-turn? Is that the anti-guided missile hacking? Either bring that back in or make it a little harder to get a reactive targeted off or make it a little harder to get pitchers up the table.
Targeted needs to be an armor roll again or something.
Yeah.
It's just way too easy without any defense.
Right.
You're just
anyway. I know we've hashed that out a lot, but throwing it out there again.
I do think that guided missiles, I think when you shoot it, you should get a profile. I don't think you should be able to get the AP and blast and the explosive, right? Like, you know, back in N3, if you're shooting the guided shot, it was a specific shot profile. It wasn't, you know, choose either of the two missile profiles and then add a template to it.
Right.
So, you know, losing the AP alone would be a pretty big thing.
Yeah. They could gently tweak it. Any other uglies? Or are we done with the uglies?
I think mine's been covered, so yeah.
So then we can go to what we wish for next year. I will kick that one off. IGL Mercs should turn into an official Corvus Belli campaign system. Person is doing a really good job on that one. I've played now two of them, and it's just a hoot and a half. It's just so fun to create your own profiles and go wild with them. Gain XP, gain injuries. It's and have these very short and concise games with mostly 4 to 6 minis on the table. And these weird little lore-like missions. Yeah, it's a blast. It's all there, Corvus Belli. Yeah. Just pick it up. Make a book.
It sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah. So yeah, I can go further down my list. That we have just more time to have games and make Whip 12 episodes and dive deeper into the subjects, because it's been a bit harder for us to find any things we want to talk about or that we find ourselves well adjusted to new rules to actually say something about it. I think that
I've just played slightly less Infinity this year.
Yeah.
I went really hard on reinforcements at the beginning. Like, I played a lot of games of reinforcements quite quickly in the first week or so. I think I played, I don't know, like 20 or so games in a week.
Yeah.
But then maybe 2 weeks, but like a short period of time, you know, I played a lot of games. But then after that, I just kind of stopped. Which maybe tells you sort of a lot about how I feel about Infinity right now. You know, like these ideas come out and they're really compelling and I want to play them and I have a lot of fun. And then it just feels as though they sort of get a little bit figured out. And then I'm like, okay, you know, I'm just running into the same sort of thing every time now. And it's not like it once was.
Yeah.
But I'm having a lot of fun in real life events. Like, that's quite different to online. Online seems to be a bit more homogenous, I think, than real life. So that's been quite refreshing to, you know, go out, go to the LGS, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's why I'm more drawn to my local games as well, because people just bring other stuff, because when you go into the TTS, the lovely thing is all the models are available, so you can go for the best ones. And when you go to a local tournament, people are like, yeah, this was on my painting table, so I'm going to try it out because I got it freshly painted. Or I got this weird wacky idea, or the terrain does things, because there are more reasons to play more out of the box kind of lists.
Yeah,
people who don't want to proxy that much, what they have lying about.
Yeah, definitely in person gaming for Infinity has been great, and it is, you know, it is that thing where we're sort of seeing things happen online where there is that those few lists, those few meta ideas that dominate, and then people gravitate really hard toward those, and you just don't see them as much in person, right? There are, somebody's got a favorite model they've painted, or they put a lot of time into a particular couple of units, and they want to put those on the table, even if they're not the best things. And I think that's really the most fun you have, is when you have those wacky models that really make that, you know, have that moment where they shine, or conversely, really don't live up to what you're hoping for.
Yeah, I had one time that everyone told me, Uxia is really good as an offer striker that can take down a lieutenant, and I had like six games where she didn't do that.
She's high risk, high reward.
Yeah, for sure. Another one, for when we got in units, we already talked a bit about it, but on my wish list is that reinforcement units being usable in non-reinforcement games. Either tweak the profiles a bit, or once you decide that it's a vanilla tournament, that you could put the reinforcement units just in down with the regular units. So you have, you can do more with those minis than just wait for a reinforcement game to pop up.
I'd say within reason. So, some of those new profiles, I think, would need to be a bit tweaked to get into for regulars. I don't need to see, Pachis in every single game. They're actually already made it in, so actually that's a bad example. But yeah, I don't need Aelith with their punchy bots. Some of those profiles I think are a bit overtuned, which is fine to some extent with reinforcements where they aren't going to be in the game the whole time, and there's limits around bringing them. But for, I definitely feel like they need to be tweaked a bit before dropping into regular lists.
Yeah, for sure. Tweak them profiles. And my last one on the list is now that with Endsong, that we have this treaty with the combined army, Corvus Belli should bring in more aliens. Just come visit, more tourists, other beasties, things with more arms that look more alien than the extra.
Combined Army 2.0.
Yeah,
I'm calling it next year. We're getting a new big bad enemy alien faction.
Yeah, it definitely. You thought we were bad. Now these guys behind us.
we're gonna. It's gonna escalate and escalate.
Yeah. Or lean into the fact that Toha are now officially the main enemy, and bring in the Toha reinforcing coming in from, you know, they reopened a new gate and they actually come in as the big bads that they were all along.
Unleash our fart monsters.
Exactly. Give me like a tag, an F8 size symbiote, you know?
Oh God.
bring back the Gorgos, a modern Gorgos sculpt.
I can get behind that. I'd like that. That would be, as long as they look a little bit more alien than the current ones. So,
for sure. Not everything is bipedal.
Unfortunately, the trend with Combined Army over the last 5 or 6 years has been to make them more human looking. Shazvasti used to be real interesting and real alien, right? Like very different proportions, and a lot of them used to have one side was larger than the other, so they'd have like one larger arm and one smaller arm, and we can see some sort of relics of that in some of the older Shaz models, but they've become more human-like.
In all fairness, a lot of the old human models also had weird proportions. So.
That's fair.
These enormous guns.
Yeah. Enormous, I think it heads. Was... I think it was mostly intentional for Shaz.
Yeah, no, I was just joking. Yeah, no, they definitely were more. I want more worms. I want to learn of the rest of Dr. Worm's people.
There you go.
Where's his family at? Can they come over? Can they come over and play?
Yeah, I want a Dr. Worm that I still want them to all have the tiny arms and just like have like a gun mounted to the back.
Yeah. Who wants to go further with their wish list?
Did mine. Sure, I'll jump in. I would love to see a great shakeup. ITS, I think they're doing some really cool things, and you know, for the most part, it's very fun. It's a great competitive environment, but I'd like to see something big that shakes up the meta, and I don't know what that would be, but you know, maybe. Changing the way the missions are structured, right? We've seen some shifts, but they're all very small, right? Maybe moving an objective or shifting points towards or away from classifieds. Let's get something very different, right? Instead of a 6-round game, an 8-round game, or something where objective points are scored and calculated differently, something that changes the way we need to approach the game. Alternatively, something happening to list building or environment, right? Take those the operations deck and really like shake up the way we approach the game. Add some bigger environmental effects that impact the way shooting works, or I don't know, something to shift the meta away from where it's at.
Yeah, I think they're trying, but yeah, like you said,
yeah.
these are little things where it's not just fully developed yet.
Right.
I feel that we're in this kind of beta stage with everything that has been launched at us.
Yeah, and I think there's a good possibility that if they revamp reinforcements, that could get closer to it. But it's got to be revamped a little bit.
Well, I haven't really put that much on the wish list because I don't really know what I want for next year. I could probably say something really boring like tweet guided, but that's a rubbish wish list, I think.
Boo.
It's not particularly interesting, is it? So, I don't know really. Okay, maybe my wish list would be to keep doing things like reinforcements, but to pay a little bit more attention to them. So I'd like a second pass on things like that. That would be my wish list.
Great. Oh, I do have a bad that I sort of skipped over, so I'll reframe it as a wish. I would like to see the Myrmidon box re-sculpted again. That was a big disappointment.
Oh, really now?
Yeah. I am not feeling them. The new Myrmidon box, I saw the pictures of those models pop up first, and I thought, oh, hey, those look kind of funny for Thoracotai. Oh, those are supposed to be Myrmidons. Well, the character is all gone. The poses in the old ones were so dynamic for how old they are, and even the Spitfire, the new Spitfire, he looks phenomenal. And just the new box was a little lackluster looking at it. I haven't gotten them in my hands yet, but we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah, that's Corpse Body will do you a solid and just do them next week. Whoopsie, this
right.
Our bad. We make new ones. Sorry, Kyle.
There you go. Hopefully.
All right. Christian, what's on your wish list?
Yeah, so what is on my wish list? So since this is a wish list for Corvus Belli, and not just Carlos, I'd like to see Warcrow released. I'd kind of like to see that, see what they go with that, see which direction they go, since they said it would be even smaller scale on a smaller table. So I'm kind of interested to see how that one is. Yeah. On my wish list as well, I want to see the Patcher scaled up to an S5 silhouette because it looks quite silly on an S2. It's just too chunky to be on an S2.
Yeah.
and you can't do any justice for that model with the base. It's a very beautiful sculpt, but I like doing scenic bases, and you can't really do much with that base.
Yeah, if you went on a bigger base, you could. Yeah, his legs are pretty close together. It's a pretty just stand up kind of pose. It could take more room if it was on a bigger base for sure.
Yeah, and the feet are already over the 24 millimeter base, so it's perfect for a 40 millimeter base. So I don't know what they add to it, but I'd still use it.
Yeah.
The next on my list is I would like to have all reinforcements packs released. I think they can do that since reinforcements have now only been out for 4 months. So. I think they can make that by next year.
Yeah.
pull the whip
over their backs. Get them reinforcements packs out.
Yeah, call the grief operator to come in.
Yeah.
Yes. And I'd also like to see reinforcements get more support. As Ollie mentioned earlier, there's a whole thread about feedback and good improvements, and scanning through that thread, it looks like everyone is quite in agreement on how to improve reinforcements. And maybe reinforcements isn't suited for a 3-round game. Maybe it does need to go up to 4 rounds, as was mentioned before, right? Then you make the cost benefit of dropping reinforcements a little bit different.
Yeah, for sure.
I'd also like to see the storyline progress. So we've had the combined army as the big baddies for a while now, and now we're buddy buddy with the combined army, or in a uneasy truce. So I'm now curious to see where the storyline goes, or if it's just going to continue being a Cold War for quite a while. So that'll be pretty interesting to see, and hopefully they do progress it.
Yeah.
And my number 5 is I would like to find more time to play this game, and possibly even have time to attend a tournament over, like, outside of Denmark. So that would be quite nice if I was able to attend a tournament next year. So we'll see. We'll see if I'm able to manage that. But that's also a personal issue, and I'm not sure if Corvus Belli could help me with that.
yeah, they have to put the warning on the box. but it's too late for you.
yeah. And
I don't know if Corvus Belli buys kids. Like, sell your kid, get minis for free. I don't know. Might be.
Not sure if that's worth it, but yeah. The next one on my list is that there are some unit profiles which just feel very N3-ish. They don't feel like they've been updated. They are kind of left behind in some of the, I guess it's power creep or version creep. I'm not quite sure. Looking at some profiles in, for example, OSS or Merovingians or something like that, they just feel like they haven't really been updated in any way. So it'd be kind of cool to see some of those profiles get a little bit updated so that there's more reason to diversify your army. So you mentioned earlier that you were painting, you had all the Ariadnan models that you paint. So now you're just painting models and you don't know why you'd ever use them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then my number 7 is it would be pretty cool to have some Fireteam duo options for Maximus. Because I think that I would like to take him. I've been playing OSS recently, and it would be a lot more fun to take him if he was able to duo with something, anyone. Because I do like the model. I like the profile. I think it can do something that nothing else in OSS can. So that would be pretty interesting if you could duo with that. But that's also
small. Make another character called Minimus, and he goes along with him. It's like an S1 profile. It's like, I'm his best friend.
Yeah. And then my last one is, I think, a new sculpt for Uksha McNeil and Joan of Arc. I think that is long overdue.
Yeah, it's long overdue. It's been a while.
It's been at least 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. So those Musashi were my
as well. Yeah, Musashi can also use another model. So, Jordan, what's on your wish list?
Similar vein to what was being said about updated profiles for some of those factions. I would really like to see ISS get reworked. They feel like they're a discontinued faction. Like they very much feel like a faction that just isn't supported anymore. And that makes me very sad. They aren't. Either make them an out-of-print faction. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't want that. But they feel like an out-of-print faction. Either, you know, pull the plug, make them out-of-print, or just give them an update. They very much feel like an M3 army trying to play an M4. So, yeah, that's one thing. I would really like a campaign book, whether that's your Raymond's suggestion of just adopting mercenaries.
Yeah, it's there.
Yeah,
they can go. Yeah, they can go pick it up.
Or if not, I would love to see, you know, a campaign book. I enjoyed playing through the campaign missions where you, you know, leveling your spec ops or your force or what have you. And I really thought we'd have one by now, so I'd really like to see that. Most of the other things I have already been said, so I'm not going to say them again. You know, Warcrow, the game coming out, but also adventures being delivered. The next year would be nice. Fingers crossed. And my final one that people haven't said is I want more cool non-game piece things in tournament packs. So, like, they had that Yujing bottle opener in, I think, the Bishi season. Mm. Right? I think there's, like, a measuring tape that might have also been in one of the last seasons. One of them, I'm not sure. I just enjoy those things. You know, a lot of people already have order tokens. You already have dice. You know, badges and stuff are cool. But I like some of these, like, might use outside of the game, but kind of neat, pretty high, like, good quality things. Like the metal using bottle opener. I use it. It's a solid, nice chunk of metal, and yeah, I'd like to see more things like that.
Yeah. It's fun to have. Yeah. So that leaves us with what we are looking forward to. My one thing that I'm looking forward to is the new space game Acheron Falls. I went all out on it. It got expensive the more it got along, because I got all the ships, and let's do that campaign pack as well. I'm really looking forward to that coming to my place and taking away even more Infinity playing time. So yeah, this the Whip 12 can might change into an Acheron Falls podcast. I don't know. It might happen, or at least get it as an item.
Yeah, we can double dip.
Yeah, for sure. Do some Warcrow in it. Make it brawling it out.
Yeah, I am really excited to update some of my Aelith models. I've got all of Aelith painted, and I haven't really dived into many of the new Steel Phalanx sculpts, and we've got a bunch more coming, and I am excited to put a full N4 looking modern Aelith army on the table.
Awesome. So Oliver or Christian, anyone?
Yeah, I can go. I'm looking forward to playing with operations and reinforcements combined, just to see how that one goes out. I haven't gotten a chance to play that yet, but I'm looking forward to how those two combine together.
Yeah, adding a little bit of close combat efficacy to OSS is nice.
Yeah, I'm also looking forward to my tournament, which will be in resilience operations. Let's see how it pans out. People wanted me to do, like, it must be equal, so everyone should draw the same cards and play the same cards. And I looked at the rules, and I'm like, I'm never gonna house rule that. That's just madness. So, Ollie, what's on your wish list? Or what are you looking forward to?
No, I did my wish list.
Oh, no, you're looking forward to.
I'm getting into more factions at the moment. I mean, I've obviously always been a Hackerslam main for a very long time, but I've just started to play other factions like NA2s, like Starco, for example, got into O12 a little bit more as well. So, yeah, I'm just kind of looking forward to exploring some other things.
Awesome. Broaden your scope. Yeah, cool. Hmm. And Jordan, last one. What are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to, trying out the operations deck more, painting up some new factions. I've gotten a bunch of my factions painted to, I have enough things to play, a few lists. I'm looking at quickly starting up, painting up my Starco with the scheme I've been planning for a long time. So excited for that, and hopefully that turns out well.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. I also need to really start painting more of my own dudes, because it's been the first this year that they're actually stuff that I leave in the box.
Ooh.
Yeah. We're getting that. There were times that I had all my Infinity painted. Mm-hmm. I hardly can remember those times.
How many models do you have in your backlog now?
Let's see. I think around 100 to 120. So, yeah.
Okay, that's quite significant.
Yeah, that's why I'm keeping stuff in the box. Like, I had a rule for myself that any time I hit 15 models, I would stop buying until I worked it off. But yeah, also my interest in other games didn't help much. I'm currently speed painting a Targaryen army for A Song of Ice and Fire. So there are lots of horsies on my table.
Excellent. Yeah. Yes, more Song of Ice and Fire.
Yes.
We'll need to get another game in.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah. There's diversifying, yeah, it has its perks that my playtime I really enjoy, but Infinity sometimes has to wait a bit. So hopefully for next year. Yeah.
Yeah. It is hard to bring new people into gaming with Infinity. It's a tall order.
Yeah. Yeah, I need to get more locals going. That's for sure.
Right. Yeah, bring them in with an IP they're familiar with, and then get them with Infinity.
Yeah,
the gateway game.
Right. Song of Ice and Fire to Infinity is a big jump.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I've been bringing in some new gamers with Crisis Protocol, and then I leave my Infinity table set up right next to it. So I've got a big 8x4, and so we'll play, and they'll kind of look at it and like, oh man, there's a lot of buildings on that one. Oh yeah, we should try that out, you know.
You kind of paint them like Spider-Man.
Right,
then you're good to go. All right, any last things people want to add before we end it all and hope that Corvus Belli will be good for us this year?
I'm pretty happy with that. I think we've done a good episode today.
Yeah, it's good to have you all on. That's for sure.
Yeah,
thanks for being our intrepid leader and putting this together.
Yeah. I have to edit. Editing is on me.
Much appreciated.
Yeah.
It's not what I was. It's not the only thing I was playing with that, but I do appreciate that as well.
Thanks, Kyle. Thanks. So yeah, with that, guys, it was lovely having a chat. I hope Corvus Belli has listened in, and Father Corvus will bring many gifts this coming year to us. And listeners, thanks for tuning in. And we see you all next time. Bye-bye.
See ya.
See ya.
Bye.